Kaya Biz.
Steinhoff. What comes to mind when I mention that company's name? Well, I think very clear that what we witnessed in December of 2016, that it brought about a lot of calamity, ongoing concerns, and to the fore, really raised concerns about accounting irregularities, fraudulent and corrupt activity that has taken place at a global scale, given the extent of this company and what was reported. Well, some good news is that there is a slight sense of accountability today. That's as the Western Cape High Court has approved Steinhoff's bid to have a 25 billion rand settlement proposal made final and binding. Comes as good news because there are particular claimants who will be receiving some of this funding in order to restore some of the losses that were incurred when this company actually saw its share price decline significantly over a matter of days a few years ago. To help us unpack the story though and help us find out if we'll be getting money in our pension funds, we join on the line by Zwela Kimguni, Chief Investment Officer and co-founder at Benguela Global Fund Managers. But Zwela, always good to touch base with you.
Good evening, Google. Good evening to your listeners.
Fantastic. Before we talk about our pension funds, because I know that I'm putting you into a corner there, maybe let's just talk about the overview of this particular story, right? For years on end, we've been talking and wanting to see some form of accountability from Steinhoff. Is this the beginning of it?
Sure. I'm not sure if this is accountability. It looks like this is excellent lawyering on the side of Steinhoff. The damage that's been done is significantly bigger than what is being settled for today.
Mm.
But I think they had very good lawyers on their side, and how they boxed them, and they really managed to get a whole lot of people into a corner to choosing between getting a little bit or liquidating the whole thing and being left with nothing. So I think... the damage, if you remember, I mean, the damage was estimated to be about $7.4 billion of fraud. And we are talking probably at the moment around $1.2 billion. So compared to the damage, I mean, it's significant, both in the books of Steinhoff, but also in the market value of Steinhoff. That was significant. People lost a fortune.
Yeah,
and I guess some of them are taking this in consolation to the thing being liquidated and therefore other claimants getting preferential treatment in the structure. I think what this has done is it's kind of got it more on an equal footing. And I can talk about it in a moment. I just want to give you an opportunity to ask questions.
Goodness, go ahead, though, because what I'm actually hearing is that it's good news, but it's not great. You're just getting, just a small portion of what was actually lost. So help us understand the context of I guess, the benefit for the claimants, if there is any.
So if you're running a business and business goes bankrupt, whether for fraud, for whatever reason, the people who are prioritized, the creditors and the employees,
yes,
and then the shareholders are last in the queue. So what they managed to do is to basically leverage the fact that the shareholders and the creditors and everybody else were put on the same footing to basically they created three classes of claimants, and those claimants had to agree to a settlement proposal. So there is a section in the Companies Act that deals with business rescue, restructuring, and insolvency. I think section 155. So basically what it does is it provides guidance in terms of compromise settlement. So where you realize that by actually liquidating the business, you might lose more.
Yes.
You could enter into a compromise and essentially take a lesser amount, but then the company continues. And I think that would be slightly beneficial to people who didn't sell their shares once the event occurred, because then they still have, they'll get whatever their share out of the 25 billion plus the share price that is left today. So, I mean, it's not going to be much, but at the end of the day, they'll get something and they still have a price. Compared to when you said, okay, creditors take all their money, and the lenders take all their money. What would have happened is the equity shareholders would have been wiped out completely and could have actually been asked to put money into the business. So it's good news in that the matter is being settled at this stage.
Yes.
But it's not good news in that people have gotten justice in that sense. I don't think
makes
you could
sense.
Go that far.
And yeah? I think perhaps, of course, many of us might be sitting at home and thinking, well, I believe I had a pension fund which had some exposure to Steinhoff at the time. Does this mean that there might be any money coming back into their portfolios?
Yeah, certainly there would be money coming back into their portfolios in proportion. But I mean, if you look at some of the big pension funds, the 25 billion would probably be half of the money that they lost, one big pension fund. So we're going to get like fractions of the amount to start with from the investor side. So there will be something coming back, but it's not going to be much. Not going to make a difference for the big pension funds.
Mm-hmm.
It might maybe make a difference for the small investors. But even then, I mean, you're getting I'm not sure of the number, but it's probably 3 cents in a rand.
Mm.
So it's quite a big loss. I mean, you literally have to write off that investment. But there are obviously still a number of cases that are still outstanding. There's the Lancaster case. There is also still the criminal case against some of the executives. Those haven't been resolved. And as you know, I'm one of the complainants in the criminal case.
Yes.
And certainly there hasn't been any major movement on that front. I've spoken to police a number of times, and they seem to be challenged in terms of resources to investigate this case.
I was about to say, Putzulak, and thanks for offering the clarity that, I guess, it's a settlement on Steinhoff's part, not truly beneficial for many of the claimants because of the marginal amount that they're actually gaining back in terms of their losses. But as you say, for us to actually see accountability take place here, it's the executives, Marcus Huster and his team at the time, 80% of whom are financial professionals, who need to be held to account. Where are we falling short here? And aside from the law, does the Companies Act not have any kind of means of recourse and legal activity that we can pursue?
Yeah, so there are two types of litigation. So one litigation would be the civil one, the other one would be the criminal one. And I think what Steinhoff did is basically bundled everybody together to try and say, if you agree, you take whatever 3 cents in this whole settlement, you basically won't make any other claims in future. So that shuts down the civil side of the claim. Although there's the Lancasters that might still pursue the matter on their own because they're not part of that settlement. But then you look on the other side, and another important thing on the Section 155 is that if you get a majority approval for the compromise deal, you actually can force the rest of the claimants into that same transaction. So it's something that we have to keep in mind that even those that didn't agree, they would be forced to accept this now because it's now sanctioned by the court. On the other side, on the criminal side, I think there seems to be a lack of capacity in terms of the police, the NPA, and so we are facing some challenges on that front. And I do think that there seems to be lack of willpower. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've gone to Silverton to follow up on the case. And I almost said something, but at the end of the day, there is evidence, okay, and that's something I can say. There is evidence of wrongdoing, but I don't know what's a hold up in terms of prosecuting. So the police need to move on that, and maybe an inquiry to the police might help.
Definitely. And as you say, we need a greater sense of accountability. We will use all the right words to make sure that this is still a family show. But I guess to close off with, Putzulak, are we making any progress? Are there lessons, I guess, that we can learn from this kind of corporate failure that need to be implemented or that we need to revisit to avoid similar circumstances occurring in future?
I certainly think that there are. We all have lessons to take out of this. So, if you look at the investment community, I think whether small-time investors or institutional investors, I think we need to essentially realized that issues of corporate governance matter. I mean, I think for a lot of people, we were aware that there were some issues of discomfort about the governance at Steinhoff, but I think that was brushed aside because most people were comfortable with the fact that there were like Dr. Christoph Wiese on on the board. But the second layer where lessons could be learned is the JSE. I mean, what has JSE done to essentially improve the level of listing requirements, the level of corporate governance to give, for example, King Four some teeth? That's another layer where lessons could be learned. They could be a lot more stringent. I mean, what they've done in the property sector, for example, suspending other companies, they never suspended this one. And then the last layer is that from an accounting profession, I mean, the relationships need to be sanitized a bit going forward.
Definitely. You're quite right on that one, especially with what we've seen with auditors in the past. But Zwelakhe, thank you so much for your time. We'll have to leave it there for today, but there's so much more to the story that we really do want to get into, but we are appreciative of your time. That's Zwelakhe Mnguni. Thank you, sir. Chief Investment Officer and co-founder at Benguela Global Fund Managers, updating us on Steinhoff's 25 billion rand settlement, which has been approved.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
On the streets, on the air.